Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
It's such an honor to be here this evening. Please be seated. God bless you. It's my honor this evening to be here. Tonight I'm just a forerunner, and so I would just be giving us a brief charge before God's apostle comes up. And so in the next 30 minutes I'll just give a brief charge, but quickly let's celebrate the angel over the house. So thank you so much for the honor. I don't take it for granted, Pastor Kola Won. Thank you so much. I'm grateful. It's truly an honor to be here. I know the Lord is doing a great work here already. I met God's servant some months ago, and the humility and the presence of God that he carries is so contagious. And from that day, he's become someone that I look up to with great respect and admiration. Thank you for the great work you're doing here. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. And I celebrate all the leaders in the house. Thank you for having me this evening. I pray that the Lord will encounter someone tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so before the apostle comes, can you just lift your hands toward heaven one more time and say something to the Father from the depth of your heart? Just whisper something to the Lord. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how excited you are for the privilege of knowing him experientially. Tell him how he's more important to you than anything and everything you know and you see. Just talk to the Lord this evening, worship him, love him, extol his name, extol his majesty. Be deliberate about it. Spirits are committed to what you say. He said, I, the Lord, I confirm the words of my servant and I perform the counsels of my messengers. And so it's important to speak when the Spirit is involved. Don't keep quiet when matters of your destiny have been altered. So just go ahead and tell the Lord your expectation tonight. Tell him what you look forward to receiving from him. Go ahead and be deliberate. Don't be religious about it. Talk to him as a man talks to his friend. Talk to him as a man talks to his father. Be deliberate about it. Don't be religious. Destinies are decided here. Lives are impacted. Transformations take place. Doors open. Possibilities happen. Just go ahead and tell the Lord you are expectant and you are open to receive. Thank you, precious Father. We love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Redeemer. The one who was, who is, and who is to come. We are humbled, Lord, to have been summoned into the fellowship of the mysteries. We are humbled, Father, for the privilege to look upon you, to call upon your name, and to have a relationship with you. Before time was, in the cradles of eternity, when you called forth light, when you created the foundations of all things, before even the angels were fashioned, you were, Lord, and you had us in mind. Today is not a surprise to you, and tomorrow is not your future, because time itself dwells in you. And so today that we have this privilege of calling upon you, Father, We ask that you cause us to come into deeper spheres. Open us into deeper wisdoms. Grant us access to deeper dimensions. That we will touch things that are eternal. So when we leave this side of the divide, our story will not end with time. But we will graduate into that realm eternal, where you dwell in the midst of the coals of fire. Precious Lord, minister to us tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Let me read from the anchor scripture. After which, anything that proceeds is fine. So do I have the liberty to praise the Lord? There are three forces that men contend with. The first force you contend with in life are called mountains. The second force you contend with in life are called the winds and the waves. And the third forces you contend with in life are spirits themselves. A mountain comes to stop you from making progress. And the reason is because life itself is a story. The physical body you have is an encasement that allows you access into a reality that is flowing from eternal past into eternal future. You are a dot in reality. And so what mountains come to do is to prevent that migration of the spirit, that transition that God has created for you to experience. And so when you find men that are stagnant in life, it's not because they were not created for great things. It's actually because there are forces in the spirit that are called mountains. And until you are able to uproot them, you can't make progress in life, no matter how educated you are. Men don't go forward because they are smart. Men go forward because they are able to remove mountains from their path. There are many smart men today that are stranded because mountains impede them from going forward. And so the first force that you must contend with in order to enjoy a transition are the mountains that hinder men from making progress. You don't add another year in the spirit because 365 days is completed. You actually add another year in the spirit when you transit from one level to another. The birthday of a spiritual man is not captured in the chronological migration. The birthday of a spiritual man is captured in the transitions he's able to make in the spirit. Because if a man must make a transition, a mountain must be removed. The second force you must overcome in life are the winds and the waves. The winds and the waves don't function like mountains. Whereas mountains stop you from making progress, the winds and the waves come after you have made very good progress. Because the idea is to uproot what you have planted. Why mountains stop you from moving, the winds and the waves come to destroy your foundation. And the Bible said, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And Jesus said, when you build, ensure to build on the rock. He said, because a time will come when the winds and the waves will come boisterously to hit against what you have built. And so that you are making progress today is not eternal assurance. Eternal assurance is only achieved when your foundation is a rock that cannot be moved. And so if you are not built on the rock, you can be uprooted even after many years of progress. The third thing that you must deal with are the spirits that manipulate the affairs of men. The Bible said the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life and life to the full. Now, these three forces I have outlined, there is no wisdom you can have or study from anywhere in the world that will give you the ability to deal with them, because they are invincible forces. You may be a graduate of Harvard. You may be connected to a president. And you may be working in the best institution in the world. When a spiritual mountain comes, it will frustrate everything you do. And it will come to a point where you will wonder why things are not working. Because all the integers around you will suggest that you should be the best in what you are doing. You can make progress for 30 years and all of a sudden, like the story of Job, a wind can come and shatter the foundation and things go down. So the forces we deal with are not primarily physical. The forces we deal with are primarily spiritual. So when he said, by my spirit, he's trying to reveal to you that as a mortal man, you are contending with things that are spiritual and eternal. So if all your advantage is in the flesh, you are defeated before you started. By my spirit is a humbling statement that you are intelligent, but put your intelligence aside when you want to discuss matters of destiny. By my spirit is a suggestion to you that all the advantages you have in the flesh, when a spirit is involved, it becomes a disadvantage. It's only in the context of a spirit that your strength can become weakness. It's only in the context of spiritual realities that your wisdom can become weakness. Except the Holy Spirit is granted the right of way, there can be no progress in any man's life. Anything happening to him can become a mirage when the spirit takes over. I heard a story of a family doing very well, excelling in every aspect, until they were traveling to the village for a ceremony. And then a witch was sent on IT. First son, 30 years. Second, 28 years. All of them graduates. And a witch, a small witch, 18-year-old girl, went for IT. And unfortunately, her IT session that day was with the family car. And so while she was passing, they were teaching her how to cast spells. And the spell she cast was to cause the car to somersault. Now, this is a professor of neurosurgery. But even though he has studied everything about the brain, when a witch was involved, human intelligence became futile. So when the Bible begins to admonish us that it has to be by the Spirit, it's a testimony you cannot extract from a university. For you to make eternal progress in life, it must be by the Spirit. The reason is because the foundation of reality is in the Spirit. God does not walk except as a spirit goes to walk. And so every time a man must sustain or build insurance in the spirit or in life, he must lay hold on the spirit. The foundation of reality is the word and the spirit. If the spirit is not at work, everything you call progress is a failure. The problem is that you are in time, so you have not calculated the totality of reality. When you come into time, reality is fragmented. Because in the spirit, what you call yesterday is now. And what you call tomorrow is also now. But because you are in time, you are forced to split your reality into a chronological sequence. And so you are here. You don't know that the beings you are dealing with are already in tomorrow. And they are also in yesterday. So you may make the mistake of judging your life by where you are standing momentarily. If you don't enter the spirit, you cannot make progress. Because your tomorrow is also now. And the problem is that they are standing in tomorrow in reality. But you, tomorrow have not come. So you are judging your today as your advantage. Whereas, if your tomorrow is not included, today was a failure. It only took time, only blinded you. And so before we make progress in life, we must come back to understand what the spirit is about. Because the spirit is the foundation of reality. In dealing with reality, as touching the spirit, there are two laws that govern its operation. I'm a forerunner. It's tomorrow I will teach. I'm just trying to stir the waters. There are two realities that govern eternal progress as far as destiny is concerned. The first reality is weaved into an economy we call the economy of intimacy. And the second reality is weaved into an economy that we call the principles of the kingdom. The principles of the kingdom are earthly, but their foundation is in the spirit. I'm trying to explain something. I'm trying to explain a simple point that until the Holy Ghost goes to work, nothing works. And the two ways of mobilizing the power of the Holy Spirit is either by taking advantage of the economy of intimacy or by taking advantage of the economy of principles. The reason it is so is because intimacy is the ability to deploy power from the heavens. While principles is the ability to deploy power from the earthly realm. And for man to be complete in his manifestation, he must touch the reality of the heavens and he must also touch the reality of the earth. The reason is because the earth is an offspring of the heavens. The heavens is what produced the earth. The reality we see and know today were crystallized from the heavenlies. And you will know this to be true when you study the scriptures in Genesis chapter 2 from verse 4. The Bible said when the earth was created, when the civilization of the earth was created, it said it was the word is like vomited from the reality of the spirit realm. And so the principles that hold the earth realm produces an alignment order that makes the earth relevant so long as it is aligned in the spirit. And the principles that run the spirit realm is operational to the degree that it is aligned to God. That means the earth aligns to the spirit and the spirit aligns to God. Now, when man was brought into the equation, this is the intelligence that governed man. Man was created different from every other being. Man was created to live in the spirit and in the earth at the same time. So when God created the man, the first faculty of man God created was his spirit. But the man was not designed to live in the spirit. If the man was designed to live in the spirit, that would have been enough. Because that's how the angelic realm was created. And I'm not going to go into that now. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Theologians said the word make there is the word bara. That means to form out of nothing. So man came from within God. And because man came from within God, it is where God dwells that the man will dwell. And so when God created that man in Genesis 1:26, he was nowhere because he was in God. He came from within God, so he lives only where God dwells. So there was nowhere to put the man. Now, after God created that man, God now went to create all other things he wanted to do. And he came in Genesis 2:7. And the Bible said God took the dust from the ground. And he said he formed the man. And the man he created from himself, he now planted him into the man he created from the dust. And the Bible said the convergence between the spirit man and the earthly man became a living soul. So the living soul is a bridge between the spirit and the natural. So for the living soul to make impact in time, there must be a contribution from the spirit man and there must be a contribution from the earthly man. If that does not take place, the man cannot dominate the earth realm. Why spirits run on one life? Animals also run on one life. Man runs on three lives. He's a strange creature. The spirit life is in Genesis chapter 2 verse 9. If man touch that life, he begins to live from the spirit realm like a god. The natural life, which is from the dust of the earth, is in the blood. In Leviticus 17 verse 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The soulish life is in his breath. He said he breathed into the man became a living soul. So for a man to function correctly, he must be planted in the spirit through intimacy. And he must be planted in the earth realm through principles. The foundation of the earth is not a rock. The foundation of the earth are laws. They are principles. And any man who is not planted on principles cannot dominate this realm. The foundation of the spirit is the breath of God. And so any man who does not connect to God through intimacy cannot live from that realm. So when a man wants to make progress, he needs to formulate this alignment order accurately so that the Holy Ghost can flow through him. That is when that man can have victory. Now, because you are spirit, an aspect of you must be built completely on intimacy. And because you are mortal, an aspect of you must be built completely on principles. There are people today that live by principles and they live by principles alone. And when a mystery is concocted from the spirit realm, it cuts them off. There are other people today that live by the spirit and they live by the spirit alone. And even though they are highly spiritual, like Lazarus, they fail in life. There is a power that is activated through intimacy and there is a power that is activated by activating principles. Both power are the power of the Holy Spirit. When you want to see the Holy Ghost at work in your life, you must activate intimacy. When you want to see the Holy Ghost at work in your life, you must activate principle. One is from the earth realm, another is from the heavenly realm. By my spirit is not a scripture to quote. By my spirit is a protocol. The protocol of intimacy that mobilizes the Holy Ghost from the heavens and the protocol of principles that mobilizes the Holy Ghost from the earth. Every man you see that is invincible knows how to mobilize these two dimensions of power. There are many Christians today, they've been in church for many years, but they know nothing about intimacy. The spirit realm is alien to them. And so when demons want to mess up their life, they can do it that way. There are other men who are in church today, they have no principle they are standing on. And because they have no principle they are standing on, they are still vulnerable. When spirits come, they just shake the foundation of the earth. And when they cause them to compromise, a little compromise takes them out of their destiny. And they are wondering, they say, God, where are you? If you heard God, he will tell you, I am on my throne. The power is in the spirit, activated by intimacy. And the power is in the earth, activated by principle. Whichever one you want to use, activate it, is your choice. So by my spirit is a life. By my spirit is a protocol. By my spirit is an ordinance in the spirit realm. Now, because I don't have so much time, let me explain to you two things that happen when you want to mobilize the power of the Holy Ghost through intimacy, and one thing that happens when you want to mobilize the power of the Holy Ghost through principle. So somebody will leave here and just go with that, you know, from the meeting, at least before God's servant comes. When a man begins to provoke intimacy, the first thing that opens him to the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, our anchor theme is by my spirit. That means nothing works except by my spirit. No mountain will be removed except by my spirit. No wind will be stopped except by my spirit. No demon, no spirit, no opposition can be shut down except by my spirit. And until mountains are removed, winds are shut down, and demons are held at bay, destiny cannot be numbered. So by my spirit is an emphasis that is activated through intimacy and through principle. And when you begin to journey in intimacy, the way the power of the Holy Ghost is activated is through certain well-coordinated realities. A lot of people engage the spirit realm, but because they don't know what activates the power, they don't pay attention to it. For example, there's a prayer movement brooding now in the spirit, and many people are praying, and they pray and just pray. Prayer has become a time reality. Prayer has become a posture-based reality. And so you see people praying, they lift up plastic chairs. Lifting plastic chair will not add value to your life. You see people praying, they are distracted. Even when worship is going on intensely, people are recording so that they can upload on Instagram. And so they are in a very intense atmosphere. They don't know what to take out of that place because they don't know how the power is mobilized. You can be in God's presence and sink. You can be in God's presence and die. You can be in an intense prayer meeting and die. Because that prayer is going on does not mean the spirit is at work. There are certain things you must touch in prayer that mobilizes the power of the spirit. And when a man wants to generate power through intimacy, the first place he must journey to is the realm of the voice of God. When God speaks, the power of the spirit is activated. If you have prayed and have not heard God, keep praying. If you are worshiping and you have not heard God, keep worshiping. If you are singing and you have not heard God, keep singing. A prayer without the voice of God is useless. A worship session without the voice of God is unprofitable. That's why people said, I have prayed, I have done everything. Why is it not working? It's not the prayer that changes things. It's the voice of God that changes things. The prayer is only a gateway. The prayer is only an access point. The prayer is a portal that you activated in order to arrive where the voice of God dwells. Because he said the voice of God is upon many waters. The waters are the dimensions of the spirit. He said the voice of God thundered. He divided the flames of fire. He said he causes the hinds to calve. That means the authority and the majesty of God is encapsulated in the voice of God. And so when a man wants to touch the voice of God, he begins to look for spiritual vehicles that helps him to travel there, because this king doesn't shout everywhere. He dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. He said, God will ascend from the secret place of thunder. There are men that know the economy of the voice. And so every time life begins to turn to a mirage, they begin to look for the voice of God. There are many of them that will go to a hiding point and pray for weeks and pray for months. They are not coming out to tell you how long they prayed. What they are going to apprehend is a voice. And when God speaks, even if it's a whisper, it's enough. The story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. The guy had spoken. Go home.
you will hear the sound of an abundance of rain. His prophetic ministry has been challenged. If the rain doesn't come, he's a fake prophet. What will make what I said come to pass? He went to the mountain. And the Bible said he put his head between his thigh and he was praying. He was praying. He was waiting for signal. The power was not in the prayer. The power was in the voice. Many people pride themselves in fasting. Many people pride themselves in prayer. Many people pride themselves in worship. But they don't know why their life is a contradiction. The reason is because they don't know that prayer is a journey. And when wise men begin to pray, they start traveling. That's why sometimes when we pray, we add fasting. Because we know that we are praying, but we are not traveling fast enough. There is noise in our head. Sometimes when we pray, we add a chant. Sometimes when we pray, we add music. The reason is because we are trying to remove everything, de-escalate every noise, de-escalate every distraction. That by all means, when we come to the mountain where the voice of God dwells. The Bible spoke about Moses. It took him 40 days. He kept climbing. Because that voice is somewhere. And until your spirit finds it, the spirit cannot walk. The spirit will only begin to walk when you hear the voice of God. In Ezekiel chapter 2 from verse 2, he said, as I saw him, I fell like a dead man. He said, but as he spake, he said, the word entered, the spirit entered into me and carried me to my feet. That means the answer was not just the presence. The answer was the speaking. Because he fell as a dead man in the presence of the throne of God. What revived him was not that he was before the throne. What revived him was not the likeness of the cherubims. Because before he fell as a dead man, he saw the cherubims. He said he saw them, they carried the throne of God. They move like thunder and lightning. He said their similitude, he began to describe them for 28 verses. But with the greatness of the cherubims, he still fell down. What lifted him to his feet was when the voice was spoken. Because the spirit can't travel until the voice is uttered. The spirit begins to travel when the voice is uttered. There is something about your destiny that you have been crying for. The spirit can't walk until the voice comes forth. I know you are looking for breakthrough. I know you are looking for something. I know that the devil is playing around your corner. And I know you are angry with the devil. But the spirit can't move until the voice comes. This is why we set a command tower, either through prayer or fasting, that by all means, any signal that comes from heaven, we will catch it. And the moment you catch it, you become invincible. You'll become invincible. The easiest way to progress in life is to hear the voice of God. Nothing is difficult when you hear the voice. It can level mountains. It can cause oceans to divide. It can cause quails to come from nowhere to the wilderness and give you more than enough. When they walk through the wilderness, they walked in abundance. Because abundance was an economy in the voice. The day the voice shuts down, that day you begin to die. And so if you want the Holy Ghost to constantly walk in your life, the secret is access to the voice. How much of it do you have? You are not rich because you have a billion in your account. No. You are rich because the voice of God dwells with you. That's what wealth is in the spirit. Money is not wealth. It's the economy of the voice that provokes wealth. Can we please celebrate God's servant? Our daddy is in the house. Prophet Amos Fenwa. And come on, you want to shout? God's choice apostle is around. Celebrate Apostle Joshua Selma. It's really an honor to have you, sir. Please be seated. Can you imagine? Inspiration is beginning to dry off. I was so worried before. Now be careful. Hope this thing I'm saying is not wrong. Don't worry. If I'm wrong, I will go back to the Apostolic College and be instructed more correctly. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, sir. And so wealth is not money. Wealth is how much of the voice of God you have. When the voice of God is spoken in your direction, it can cause the hind to calve. It can discover the mysteries of the forest. It can go to the belly of the sea and bring the wealth to you. And so the first way to activate the operation of the Holy Ghost is to journey in the spirit until you find the voice. Prayer is not powerful in itself, except as prayer is a vehicle for accessing where the voice dwells. And that's why wise men of old, what they do is that they journey in the spirit. When they are worshiping, they are not singing necessarily. They know that that song is a vehicle. When they are praying, they are not just carrying out a religious activity. There are many religions that pray, but only the prayer of the spirit carries us to where the voice dwells. And so when we are done praying, we don't come out as prayer champions. We come out with voices. We come out with verdicts. We come out with oracles. We come out with mysteries. And the mysteries we come out with make us commanders on the face of the earth. And so the first thing and the first protocol that gives a man an eternal advantage is access to the voice of God. That's why intimacy becomes a vehicle and a reality of the spirit that no Christian can tamper with. If you joke with it, you are gone. If it's going to be by the spirit, then it will be by intimacy. Because intimacy is the vehicle to the voice. And when the voice comes, things change. Nobody is disadvantaged. When you find a man who is disadvantaged, he's bereft of the voice. The moment the voice comes, he becomes a champion. And so for the spirit to walk, intimacy must be set up. If that pillar is not there, the spirit of God cannot walk. The second thing that happens when we begin to dig into intimacy is that the government of God is activated. The government of God cannot work on a man except as he submits himself to the Spirit. When the government of God comes, there are five things it does. And these five things are the realities you will find in Eden. When Adam was created, he was put in the garden where God had free access to come in and out at any time. There was no door in Eden because Eden is a portal. God dwelt there. And when God shows up in Eden, it's like he's in heaven. Eden is the realm of God. And so every time a man begins to build intimacy, he begins to call back Eden. And when Eden shows up, five things happen. There are five things that make Eden, Eden. Number one is the glory of God. When you find a man who journeys with God, the glory of God is strong upon his life. And the glory of God is not a cloud. The glory of God is the essence of God. What makes him God? Remember, I told you that man is the only creature that operates with three lives. Angels walk with one life, the spirit life. Animals walk with one life, the animal life, which is called bios. But man walks with both bios, suche and zoe. Because man is body, spirit and soul. And so for a man to walk in the realm of God, he must make a conscious decision that he will press into God until he comes to the realm where the spirit of God have absolute dominion. When he comes there, the essence of God is mirrored through that man. And so when you see that man, you will see God through him. You will no longer know him after the flesh. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I am the follower of Christ." That means Paul came to a point in his journey with God that Paul was bold enough to tell us, in case you don't see Jesus, if you see me, you have seen him. Just in case you have not heard about Jesus, when you meet Paul, it's as good as though you have seen Jesus. That was why Paul said, "As touching virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. But as a man who is found worthy, I can speak on these matters." And the things Paul said without inspiration became scriptures. He carried too much of God to be disaligned. So when Paul functions, is God functioning? Did you not read? Paul used handkerchief and gave the handkerchiefs out. Demons were cast out with those handkerchiefs. That means Paul don't sweat. Paul emits anointing. When you carry Paul's handkerchief, you may assume that it is sweat. Wait until a demon sees it. The demon will begin to scream as though somebody is shouting the name of Jesus. And you are wondering, what is going on here? Something touched Paul. And when that thing touched Paul, the glory of God was deposited on it. If you touch that thing, it's as good as though you have touched God. That's a reality for men of intimacy. This thing is beyond quoting scriptures you were taught in the Bible school. You have to dig into the spirit until you are able to draw out waters from the wells of salvation. The second thing that happens when you are functioning in the realm of God's government is his likeness. Why? His glory is his essence. His likeness are the attributes of his essence. I am speaking because I'm a man. A dog cannot speak. I have the essence of a man, so I have the likeness of talking. A dog does not have the essence of a man. So no matter how you train a dog, he can't talk. The likeness of God are the things that God does. And when a man dwells in God's presence long enough, he begins to do the things God does. Because he will not just carry the essence of God, he will also carry the likeness of God. This is why Jesus didn't tell us to pray for the sick. He said, "Lay hands on them." Because if a God touch them, they will be healed. So if you touch them, they should be healed also. Because what flows through God flows through you. All of these realities are in the spirit. And so a man who wants the Holy Ghost to begin to walk through him must submit himself to the government of the spirit. He must tarry there until the government of God comes upon him and begins to dominate him. The third thing that happens to that man is the life of God. It begins to flow from that man. You see, when Adam was in Eden, the tree of life was planted there. He already had the animal life. He already had the soulish life, but the Zoe life was not there. He had to go and pluck of that tree. But the devil knew that if he took of that tree, he will become immortal. So he stopped him. Now, when we receive Christ, eternal life was credited into our spirit. But it will take intimacy to begin to function in the order of eternal life. When you find men still struggling with sicknesses, find men still struggling with issues that should be the reason why they are revealed in the order of God, it means the life has not yet been tapped into. The reason one man walks as a king and another like a servant is not because God prefers any of them. It's because one has activated life. And so that life becomes a speaking reality. Anywhere he goes, that life is a testimony. The fourth thing that happens when the government of God is on your life is transformation. In fact, what we actually call the presence of God is transformation. The glory of God is God's essence. In the Hebrew, it's called kaboid. But the presence of God in the Hebrew is called panim. It's the face of God. When you encounter him, you begin to transform and become like him. That's why I say we all with open faces beholding as in the glass the image of the Lord, we are metamorphosed. It's not changed. It's not today I was a sinner. Yesterday I was a sinner. Today I'm not a sinner. I was a liar. Now I'm not a liar. That's not what he's saying. It's just the way a butterfly changes from an egg to a winged creature. That's what he's telling you. You can't go back. You have been altered. Your DNA has been altered. Metamorphosis has taken place. Yes, there will be a change because the butterfly does not look like the egg. But much more than that, there are attributes that the butterfly has that the egg doesn't have. The egg does not have wings. When transformation comes, wings come. And so what took men 30 years takes you 3 months. And then they are wondering, what happened? There's something happening in me. Even me, I can't explain it. But I know that when I speak, God moves. I know when I show up, God shows up. I know whatever I do, God takes over. I don't know how it happens. All I know is that when I appear, when he appeared to me, as I looked upon him, I became more like him. And so the more I become more like him, the more his reality flows from my realm. I can learn all the principles you are applying. I will not have your result. Because in addition to the principle, there is a life that powers it. Principles are powerful, but there's a consecration that backs every principle. If you don't apply that consecration for the life, you know what we call principles are actually byproducts of spirit realities. The things spirit live out are the things we call principles. It's their life. Just the way men eat when they are hungry. An animal that is not a man may need to eat every day to be healthy. He will call it a principle, but you are responding to hunger. What you call a principle is the byproduct of a spirit life. And like I told you, if you don't engage principles, you cannot activate the power of the Holy Ghost that flow from the earth realm. Remember, I began by telling you that there is a dimension of the Holy Ghost power that flows from the heavenlies. That one is activated by intimacy. But there is also a dimension of the power of the Holy Ghost that flows from the earth realm. Because God credited his authority into the laws of creation. He said, except my covenant be not with the sun and the moon. In Jeremiah 33 from verse 25 and 26. Except my covenant be not with the moon and the sun, then will I reject my servant David and refuse his seed to be on the throne. That means what I do with men is efficacious to the degree that my covenant is efficacious. That means when you see principles at work, know that the integrity of God is committed. And when you apply those principles, even God can't stop himself.
He must respond because he has credited his credibility into those realities. So the power of the Holy Ghost is activated when you engage principles. But I'm talking about the intimacy dimension. And one of the things that makes for the power of the Holy Ghost to flow through you is when you are under his government. When you are under his government, you become more and more like him. So a point comes when you show up, he shows up. I heard the story of Benson Idahosa of blessed memory. He showed up and he commanded the dead body to stand up. And I had listened to some of his messages, so I also showed up where there was a dead man. And I stood like Benson Idahosa and I commanded the dead. And the more I shouted, the more dead the person became. Because the one talking was talking from a realm. He had become too much like a god. He doesn't know fear. If the dead doesn't rise, he will call until he rises. But when I called 3 times, fear came. That means there's a level of transformation. When we talk transformation, it's not just about sin. It's becoming more like God. In the realm of God, there's no fear. In the realm of God, there's no doubt. And so when a man is joining in transformation, everything that makes God, God, begins to form in that man. This is the mystery of the age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants you to be the revelation of God. When you are seeking God, you shouldn't just look into the cloud. When men show up, God has shown up. That's the order of creation, that we should mirror God's dimension. And so when we talk transformation, the lowest level of transformation is in dealing with sin. The highest level of transformation is to become like him that made you. So much so that you cannot be distinguished. When you speak, men will say God is talking. They say, I labor more than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God. Let's stop here. There's a word God has for me. I want to hear it.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.